us today as we carry on the people's business. We pray the things that we do will be for the best interest of the people of this county, and may we always do what's right. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to be for our leaders of this state and of our nation. Pray you to be with them and guide them and protect them. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to be for men and women that are overseas, that's in foreign land. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that they may come back safe. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Join me in your pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Welcome everyone. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving holiday. Today is our special meeting, Commissioner's Court, 26th of November, 2012, shortly after 9 o'clock. Start off tonight at number one, public comment or request for information on non-agenda items in accordance with Section 551.042 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. Anyone here that would like to speak on a non-agenda item? Briefly discussed item number two regarding our minutes. We would like a little bit of additional time to go over those and review both sets of those minutes, both the November 13th and the 19th. So I'm going to ask the gentleman if we table this. In fact, I'll make that a motion. Second by Commissioner Field, all those in favor say aye. Thank you. Item number three, I want to welcome today Jim Prescott, who is here today to give us a brief little education on what's going on with the Keystone Pipeline. It's not quite going through Titus County, but it's awful close. And I know that we're reaping a lot of the benefits from that project, but I wanted you to meet Jim and get some information from him so that you can understand exactly how big of a project this is and hopefully have an understanding of exactly what kind of an economic impact that this pipeline has. This is the second pipeline project that's come through our area here within the last 4 years, and I personally think that it's done a lot of good for our economy. So, Jim, come on up here if you would. Once again, welcome. I know you've got a busy day, and so I've got you first here, and as soon as we're done, if you need to slip on out, please feel free to do so. You don't need to sit and listen, but you're welcome to if you so choose.
Thank you, Judge. Appreciate the opportunity. Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yeah, hold that up as best you can. There you go.
There we go. It's a height hazard. I hit my head on pipes in the basement all the time. So. We appreciate the opportunity, Judge and Commissioner Fields. I bring you greetings and a hello from your nephew-in-law, my colleague Shane Woodard in Austin. I said to say hello to you. We have been, as you indicated, Judge Lee, in Titus County for several months now. We, as many of you know, opened a contractor yard just north of town on Route 271 midsummer, so we've been there for several months now. And we've had a steadily increasing number of workers coming in and out of there every day, every week, and every month since we set up operations there. Contractor yard is our base of operations for this particular area of construction of the pipeline. We began construction in August. We mobilized all the equipment and all the yards, pipe yards, contractor yards, etc. Prior to that. So we've been in construction now for three going on 4 months and are well underway. We're probably about a third of the way through construction, if not more. Pipelines, as some of you may know, and you've seen them in your community before, are built in sections or spreads, as they're called in the business. And there are three spreads on the Keystone Pipeline Gulf Coast project, which is what we're building now, which is 485 miles from Cushing, Oklahoma, to the Gulf Coast at Port Arthur, Texas. And we're in Spread 2. And one of the main contractor yards for Spread 2 is the one that's up on Route 271, on Highway 271. And we've had as many as, we're at peak employment now, roughly 850 workers at 6 a.m. and watched everyone arrive and then roll out of the contracted yard at 7 a.m. as they mobilized that morning. And it looks a little bit, if you've driven by there, if you've seen before the time sharing, with the lights and everything that are on, and when everyone's rolling in and rolling out, it looks a little like an army base of operations with all the activity and all the equipment that comes and goes. We have been just overwhelmed by the wonderful reception we've received in Titus County. It has been fantastic. We certainly have done our best to do as much local business as possible. I know our assistant construction manager bought his pickup at the Dodge dealership in town here. We've done a lot of business with a lot of restaurants and a lot of hotels. And, you know, when you bring 850 workers in to build something like a pipeline, there certainly is a lot of activity and a lot of economic benefit that rolls through the local economy with local businesses, whether it's goods and materials like lumber, fuel, tires, and things of that nature that are directly related to the construction. But there's also, with that many people, and some of them, they all need someplace to stay. There's an RV park just south of the contractor yard on Highway 271. We've had that full since midsummer. And they all buy groceries, they all buy clothing, they all buy everyday items that we all need for, just to get through every day and every week. And we certainly know that they've been very active in their spending around the community. So we've seen that in this project elsewhere. This entire project was first announced in 2005, and despite the controversy on the project, we actually have gotten the first two phases built. The entire system is about 4,000 miles of pipeline connecting from Canada. Eventually, we'll pick up on more oil out of the North Dakota, Minnesota region because there's an awful lot of oil production coming out of there, and delivering oil to Illinois, to Cushing, and to the Gulf Coast. So the system keeps expanding. We made the decision earlier this year, after the initial permit for this part was rejected in Washington, to move forward and build from Cushing south. We don't need a presidential permit for that. We just need some federal permits and some state permits, which we obtained over the course of the summer. And as I said earlier, we started construction in August. So we have been hard at work for several weeks now, for several months now, and the work is moving on a north and south basis. You'll see, as you probably saw in the previous pipeline projects, work slowly escalates, it peaks, and then holds that peak for a while, and then work curtails. It's like an assembly line, or sort of a parade. As the crews move south, it's one crew after another. So the first crew is at the southern end of Spread 2 right now, which is down near Lufkin. We're building up another contractor yard in Jacksonville. So that it's like a slow-moving wave that moves on a north and south basis. But we've had nothing but a warm welcome in Titus County. Judge Lee, as you indicate, the route itself, the pipeline itself, does not go through Titus County. But given the infrastructure and the facilities in Mount Pleasant, this was a logical choice for the contractor yard, the availability of goods and services, accommodations, restaurants, etc., plus all the other services that were available here. This was a perfect location for us. So we've got several contractor yards, Paris, here, Jacksonville, Livingston, and some farther south, closer to Beaumont as well. So sprinkled at intervals all across the 485 miles. We anticipate that work will continue. When you look at all the phases we've got to do from beginning with survey work to end with cleanup and reclamation, it takes several months. We anticipate that all construction activities will be wrapped up by the middle of 2013. And then that begins the commissioning phase and then placing the pipeline in service. That's a fancy way of saying filling it with oil and then putting it into operations and delivering oil down to the We anticipate that the pipeline will be in service by the end of 2013, probably a year from now, if not sooner, but it'll be sometime fourth quarter next year that we'll be in service. So we've still got a lot of work to do, and we're trying to do it as safely as possible. And despite some of the controversy that you may have heard of, about the project, we're making good progress, and work continues every day. And a lot of that's because of the infrastructure and some people smarter than me who made a good choice to put a contractor here at Titus County. So we appreciate all the support and all the services we've been able to obtain here in Mount Pleasant and Titus County. And we look forward to the successful completion of this project. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
One thing you just mentioned, that kind of called Peoples, you're looking at South Dakota, Illinois, in that area, and I know there was some big fields the past 2 years discovered there. Great reserves there.
It's actually, Commissioner Fields, it's actually North Dakota. North Dakota, earlier this year, as a matter of fact, replaced Alaska as the number two producing state in the country. Texas is number one, followed by North Dakota. Alaska is number three. The reason for that, as you indicated, is that there is a field up there, kind of like the Eagle Ford in Texas. There's a field that's called the Bakken, B-A-K-K-E-N. And it is an area where they're using the newest technology, the hydraulic fracturing and some of the other techniques that are available today. And actually have been around for a while, but they're more refined, more precise, and leave a smaller footprint, you might say, in terms of being able to extract, produce oil, tight oil, as they call it, from our ground. And that's a lot of what's happening in the natural gas play in the Eagle Ford in South Texas, et cetera. And the, so what's happening there is that production is just going through the roof in North Dakota, and it's just rapidly escalated. The problem they've got in North Dakota, frankly, is that there's not enough pipeline capacity to deliver that oil from production fields to the market. That's where we come in. We're not an oil company. Keystone, TransCanada, Keystone is not an oil company. There are three major parts to the oil business. There's exploration and production, transportation, and refining and marketing. And what TransCanada does is that second part only. They don't explore it before, they don't produce it, they don't refine it, they don't sell it. We just move whether it's natural gas or oil, in this case oil, from production to the market, to the refinery, where it's not our oil. And what we're proposing in North Dakota is a spur, an on-ramp, from the Bakken fields to the northern leg of Keystone XL pipeline. And assuming we get a presidential permit sometime in 2013, that will also build about a 100-mile on-ramp from the Bakken fields to Keystone XL pipeline to deliver oil to markets at Cushing, Illinois, the Gulf Coast. You know, when you think about it, and it's one of those things that, when you do think about it, it makes sense. There's a very limited number of ways to move petroleum products. There's only four, really. There's trucks, trains, tankers, and pipelines. And that's about it. There's really no other way to do it. And from both an environmental standpoint as well as a financial or business standpoint, the most efficient way to move them is move petroleum products is by pipeline, by far. Because right now there's a lot of trains coming out of the Bakken. And generally there's roughly a $5 premium per barrel because of the extra cost of moving oil by train out of the Bakken to the markets like at Cushing. So pipelines are much more efficient.
Where does spread 2 begin?
Spread 2 begins roughly in the middle of Delta County, which is sort of shaped like a pie with the tip on the east side. So we're sort of on the eastern side. The route is on the eastern side of Delta County, and the spread break is right sort of middle of that tip, right up there. So south of Paris, it's about 45 miles from here to Paris roughly, so we're roughly 20, 30 miles from the beginning of the spread break. And as I said, spread two is the largest of the three spreads. It's about 180 miles, and the spread break between spread two and spread three is south down near Lufkin, down near the Angelina County line. So we have a lot of ground cover.
Some of the trucks that we're seeing around here, Michaels, is that, I see Michaels trucks a lot.
Michaels,
what is their role?
Michaels is the prime contractor. The way the business works, more or less, is that a company like TransCanada, with a project like Keystone, Gulf Coast, hires a contractor, just like when you build a house, they're the prime contractor. And then their job is to build it. And they also have the ability to hire subcontractors and even subcontractors. So we'll see some local businesses get hired along the way as well. And so Michaels is the main contractor on this project. Been in the business a long time. And actually has worked on the previous two phases of Keystone Pipeline. So they know what they're doing.
Anyone else?
Well, thank you again very much, Judge Lee and members of the commission and the community at large. We've had a wonderful, warm welcome here, and we're not done yet. This isn't goodbye, but we wanted to at least let you know where we're at and give you a quick status update on the project. Things are going well. We appreciate the support. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Moving on to item number four, I would like to propose a resolution here. Support, and let me just read this to you and give me your thoughts on this. Whereas the Keystone Pipeline Gulf Coast project will connect crude oil supply from the U.S. and Canadian sources in Cushing, Oklahoma to the Gulf Coast refinery market in Texas, and whereas Gulf Coast refineries are highly dependent on unreliable supplies of crude imports from Saudi Arabia, Mexico, Venezuela, and Nigeria, and whereas the United States imports more oil from Canada than any other country in the world, and therefore it is in America's national interest to strengthen its partnership with its strongest energy trading partner. And whereas U.S. oil production is rapidly increasing to the point where America could be the largest oil producer in the world by 2020, and whereas to strengthen energy security and safely transport North American crude oil supplies from U.S. and Canadian sources, it is crucial to rebuild America's oil pipeline system to meet the demand for energy and reduce our dependence on foreign oil. And whereas the Gulf Coast project is a $2.3 billion pipeline that will generate 4,000 jobs during construction and generate millions in long-term tax benefits for state and local government in Texas. And whereas the Gulf Coast project began construction in August 2012 and established one of several bases of construction operations in Titus County at a construction yard located in Mount Pleasant. And whereas construction of the Gulf Coast project has stimulated the local economy as businesses in Mount Pleasant based on our purchase backup, we've been on schedule of upgrading our equipment since 2010. So I asked for a bid letting on the backup. It's come to my attention that there was an error on the bid sheet as far as the dates were concerned. I consulted with Tim Taylor, who is acting in lieu of John Mark Cohen on his way, and he said in order to comply with the intent of the bid letting, what we need to do is to take this for the next meeting. That's the motion I'd like to make.
Yes, sir. Motion by Commissioner Boggs, second by Commissioner Fields, table this matter. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We'll get some more details on that. What can we do with the bids that are as of yet? We return those, hold on to those,
hold on to them, and get anybody that feels like they were denied an opportunity to bid on a piece of equipment to get their bid in before the next meeting.
Okay.
They're not appealing.
Mr. Riddle, did you have anything that you wanted to say? You asked me if you could speak either in item number one or item number six.
I couldn't hear a word he said.
We're tabling.
I don't know what Mr. Boggs said.
We're tabling this matter. There was an error in the dates of the advertisement that was in the newspaper. How many bids received, Carl? Do you know?
I've got two, I believe.
Two bids received. We're going to leave those alone. So we're not going to take any action on this matter today.
Can I address it? I would request that we don't take any action until after I take office. I think it's a common courtesy. Anybody come in as a commissioner in 4 weeks or 5 weeks would not want anything taken on this. I'd like to determine whether this is on the priority. I'd like to have that opportunity since it's going to be my responsibility for the next 4 years. I don't think somebody going out of office should do this. I think as a courtesy, I would request that you please table this after the first of the year and then make that decision and let me be involved. See where it is on priorities.
Thank you.
I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Item number seven, consider and possibly approve travel and seminar for Dodge County employees and elected officials. Item number one on our list of travel requests, Deborah Aston, our district clerk, is making a request, and I'm not even sure where she is traveling to. She has not indicated the city, but yes, as it looks like, Texas A&M, this will be for 2015 in mid-January, 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. This is mandatory training, a $160 registration fee, $483 hotel bill to be shared with one of her employees that is going along. They'll be carpooling to this training. She only needs at this time a registration of $160 paid for. The total anticipated cost of training, travel, per diem, and the registration of $803. From our Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Ingram and Chief Deputy Livingston are requesting to be able to attend the newly elected Sheriff's Management Training Seminar in Austin. This is not mandatory training, but it's offered for newly electeds, and Sheriff Ingram feels like it is appropriate that they attend this. This will be a full week of training again in Austin, so he is requesting.
Hey, Judge, actually, the hours on that is kind of mandatory.
It is mandatory.
Yeah, because I didn't go any of my training last year, hoping I could get into this because the training is good on this, and John needed it, and I won't be going next year either to any. So it is actually mandatory because I'll have to have hours, and this will fulfill my hours.
From my hours without it, you will have a gap in your hours.
Yeah, yes.
All right. So again, that is coming up here in December for the two of these gentlemen to attend this, including cost of travel, hotel, meals. There is not a registration fee. The travel will be in a sheriff's office vehicle, so there will be gas only there. Total cost of this training for these gentlemen, $1,400.
Judge, there is two things. On number nine, it does say they are using personal vehicle. I don't know if that's what they intended to.
Not for this school. It's going to be a sheriff's. We're going to drive together $1,200.
Okay. But it does say this, when it asks the question, are they using personal vehicle, it says yes.
Okay. The cost you've given me here for mileage, $100 would indicate to me that would be the gas bill in the sheriff's vehicle.
So the answer on nine is really no. They're using
that's right.
Sheriff's vehicle. And then back
up. You make that note there on your original, please.
Okay. And then back on Deborah's, the $803 estimate does not include her mileage, I don't think, because I don't know where she was going. I don't know the mileage. The $803 is just the meals, the registration, and the hotel added up, I believe.
Okay.
So there will be some mileage.
I'll get her to resubmit that when she requests additional beyond the cost of her registration. All right, again, in our sheriff's department, Robbie Ann Bosick and Kristen Shaver, dispatchers, are requesting to attend dispatch TLETS, NLETS basic procedures course. This will be University of Texas at Tyler. This is mandatory training on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of December. No registration cost, no per diem. I assume they'll be traveling back and forth for this.
Yes, yes.
Well, there's no hotel. They'll drive a county vehicle. Total cost anticipated at $60. All right. Also, Sheriff's Office, Brad Fosdick and Lisa Wertz.
Wertz.
Wertz. Captain Fosdick and our nurse would like to attend the Texas TB Summit for Corrections in Austin. This is optional training, December 5th through 7th. Zero registration cost, $240 in per diem, $416 in motel accommodations. They will be driving a sheriff's office vehicle, but Chief Livingston has told me that this will be paid for from the SCAPP grant funds at no cost to the county. The state has not given them the hotel information yet on the cost, so he is just estimating the cost of the room, but either way, it will be paid out of those grant funds. That's all I have. Motion by Commissioner Boggs to approve these travel requests. Second by Commissioner Hinton. In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item number 8, approve oral written reports of county officials.
Make a motion to approve oral written
Motion by Commissioner Hinton for approval and a second by Commissioner Fields. All those in favor of approval of these reports, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item number nine, consider possibly approve our treasurer's report.
Make a motion we approve the treasurer's report.
Motion by Commissioner Fields to approve the treasurer's report. Second by Commissioner Hinton. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Number 10, Carl, do you have any budget amendments?
Yes, sir. I've got for last year, number 25, number 32. This is the year-end review, just numbers that we do every year. And then have the first budget for the current year, which is routine loop construction. We always adjust our numbers. We kind of make the changes to their numbers on construction.
And that have anything to do with?
Changes and stuff, yes.
Anything you want to?
This is residents.
Single out on last year's adjustments?
No, I think at the end of the year, after everything's finalized, I think the only thing I've got left to really look at is the insurance fund. We should finish the year with at least a half a million dollar surplus. Hopefully more. Mainly because of the, as part of the settlement with Lumina, they paid us some additional taxes for last year.
Items 25 through 32, again, that relate to the previous year. And we have one item, adjustment number one, which all relates to loop construction adjustments. comments. Commissioner Hockaday, would you like to start? Do you have anything? Just as a reminder, I can think of this a week from Friday. We'll be hosting, the week was the week of Thursday. We'll be hosting training at the extension office. This is annual judges, commissioners training, and we'll have some out-of-town guests there. We're pleased to be able to host this event, so I would encourage each of you to attend that. This Thursday, we'll have a follow-up meeting with CAPS Insurance. We need to make some decisions on that day as to what we're going to do with the upcoming calendar year employee health insurance. So that will be an important meeting this Thursday at 9:30. And I believe we've got that posted. That's all I have, Commissioner Beavers.
We've had two most meetings. Thursday, but everything was good. Very thankful.
I have some comments prepared, but they're posted and backed up, and I'll say it.
All right, thank you very much. All right, if there's nothing